Okay, good evening to everybody. Parshas Mishpatim, of course, is the lion's share of the discussion of civil and criminal law in the Torah. And in light of the Parsha, I'd like to take a look at Bezdin, I'd like to take a look at Heter Kos, and to take a look at civil litigation in general. And from all the areas in Halacha, Dalach, Halki, Shulchan Aruch, so of the areas that is most minimally known to the average Joe or average Yosef is probably the area of Chosh and Mishpat. Talk about Or HaChaim and the laws of Shabbos and Yontif, the laws of Shabbos and the relatively daily halachas that we bump into from Tefillah to Brachos and the like. So those we're relatively comfortable and knowledgeable in. In your day, of course, halachas of Kashrus is something that we encounter on a regular basis. And although Ibn Ezra, the third Chayyil of Shulchan Aruch, is not something that every layman is particularly familiar with, we all are known. We marry b'chuppah v'kiddushin, and lo aleinu, if there's a necessity for divorce, or Jewish divorce, those are things that the rabbis and those people in charge are well aware of, and we certainly find ourselves in situations where we are entrusted to the Rav and Rabbanim that are dealing with those two particular areas. However, when it comes to monetary issues, when it comes to financial disputes and arbitration and mediation and Beis Din, we're not as well educated. And in light of that, I'd like to take the opportunity at least to start talking about some of the beginnings, the basics, the background to Beis Din, how Beis Din works, some of the issues regarding going to secular court, the propriety or the impropriety, and of course, ultimately, talk about some of the practical applications as such. The parsha, of course, opens up with the words, "Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneim." These are the ordinances that you shall place before them. And Rashi notes that the word lifneihem, in front of them, is coming to teach lifneihem v'lo lifnei goyim. Rashi is quoting the Gemara in Peiches Amud Beis, and Rashi says that the word lifneihem, quoting the Gemara, is referring to one who has a dispute, one who has an issue. A matter that requires any form of adjudication, litigation, must take place in front of a Jewish court and not in front of a non-Jewish court. Rashi continues and says, "Vafilu yadata b'din echad shem danim also k'dini Yisrael." Even though you know that in your particular providence, state, space, area, region, the same rules and jurisprudence and judiciary system is absolutely in line with Jewish law, al tivyo bar koshlem. Nonetheless, one is prohibited from bringing the case in front of their courts. Shehamevi dini Yisrael lefnei goyim, one who brings a legal matter that belongs in a Beis Din in front of a non-Jewish court, mechalel es Hashem, desecrates the name of God, umiyakir shem avodah zarah l'hachshiva, and raises the banner of avodah zarah. Shenemar, the Gemara Rashi quotes Pasuk in Parashas Hazino at the end of Dvarim, ki lo kitzureinu tzuram v'oiveinu plilim, our rock is not like your rock, kishoiveinu plilim zehu edus l'ira yirasam, when our enemies and have an ability to attack to get us, of course we have to be cautious, we have to be careful. Rashi here is quoting the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim speaks very seriously and with vigor and with much passion about the appropriateness of bringing a case in front of a Beis Din as opposed to bringing a case in front of a non-Jewish court system. By way of beginning, it's important to point out that what we're talking about today contemporarily is only civil matters. All criminal matters are no longer adjudicated by a Beis Din, that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Aleph of Chosh Mishpat, that ever since the time that the Beis Din HaGadol no longer sat, we no longer had permission to issue and execute rules of punishment and on criminal cases. So therefore, our entire discussion is dealing with financial, monetary matters that we call dinei mamonos. All forms of financial disputes are to be brought in front of the Beis Din. Of course, Shivana Beis HaMikdash B'mehavehenu, we hope and we wait and we pray for the day. And of course, as we say every day in Shemona Esrei, three times a day, Hashiva Shofteinu Kivarishona V'yoaseinu Kivatchila, we pray for the day when ultimately the judges will be restored to their glory and be placed back in Malkum HaMikdash and will bring all of our cases in front of a Din Torah. But nonetheless, contemporarily, Lo Aleinu, without the Beis HaMikdash, we only bring in front of a Beis Din today matters that relate to civil matters and matters that relate to financial issues in general. The first thing to point out, of course, is the issue that Rashi raises and that the Gemara elaborates upon, and that is the issue of bringing a case to a non-Jewish court. And that's brought in Chosh Mishpat at the end of Hilchas Ayanim and Simen Chavav. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about and speaks at length about the issue called Arkos, and when is one permitted to bring a case in front of Beis Din, and when is one prohibited to bring a case in front of Beis Din. The Shulchan Aruch opens and the Torah discusses and brings actually a lot of the language of Rashi and being in the Torah. And in Simen Chavav, the Mechaber says as follows: Asur Lodun b'fnei Din Yaakov. It's prohibited to bring a case in front of Akum, in front of the Beis Din of non-Jewish court system. Ubearkol Shalahem. Litigate in a non-Jewish court system. Rashi explains, and the footnotes to the Mechaber explain, Moshav Kavua L'Sar Lodunbo. That's referring to a real legal system. That's what is prohibited to be done. And the Mechaber quotes, then he quotes Rashi, he quotes the Ramban al Torah, Afilu b'din shedanim k'din Yisrael, even though the court system rules the same way the Jewish law posits, Afilu misratzu beiz baledin and lodin b'fneihem. Let's say two Jews decide they want to bring their case in front of a non-Jewish court system, and they both agree to do so. They have absolutely no issue. They could argue about everything else, but one thing they agree about is that they're willing to go in front of a non-Jewish court. Nonetheless, it's still prohibited. Also, and here the Mechaber speaks in a most an anomaly, really, in all of Dal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, and he says as follows: Cholabal Lidum b'fneihem Hariz Erasha. Anybody who comes and brings a case in front of a Beis Din of Akum, in front of a non-Jewish court system, Hariz Erasha. One who does so is a wicked person, he has a blasphemer, and he has raised his hand against the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramah quotes that from the Marik, from the Rishonim, Yesh Biad Bezel in Adoso, a person who does as such is placed in Nidui, Ulahachrima, placed in Cherem, Achisalik Yad Goyim El Chabero, and ultimately this is what happens, and the Ramah continues and speaks about how the Cherem works. The Smach, the Sefer Mira Sinai, on the Shulchan Aruch, on the classic commentaries on Chosh Mishpat, explains, and he quotes Rashi, he quotes the Ramban that we just quoted, and explains that the issue here is as follows. The Hameniach Dinei Yisrael, a person who places aside the rules and the legal system, B'halach L'Fnei Dayani Akum, and brings the issue that's relating to a financial matter in our contemporary times and any matter relating to Bizman HaMikdash, Marekiu Toras Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom U'Mishpatot Eino Emes Chas HaShalom. You're basically saying that the rules, the authority, and the appropriateness of the way the Torah understands law is not true. Therefore, that's the meaning when the Mechaber says, V'Herim Yad B'Toras Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, the one has placed his hand against the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, because one in that particular circumstance is basically stating explicitly and articulately, I'm not interested in the Torah of Moshe, I'm not interested in the rules of the rabbis, and I prefer and I take my cases to a secular court system, and as a result, one is kofer b'Torah Moshe, and ultimately that's the reason why one is called a Rasha. In two places in the Mishnah Berurah and Orach Chaim, both in Siman and Gimel, as well as in the first Siman, the Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah Berurah notes that an individual who goes in front of an Akum and brings a court case when he has an issue with another Jew in front of a non-Jewish court system as opposed to going to Beis Din is prohibited from davening from the Amud on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Such a person should not daven. Mishnah Berurah says that in Siman and Gimel, Sifkatan Pei, and he elaborates upon that there as well as in the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Berurah does seem to indicate that today many people are shogeg, they don't really understand, they don't know, as we described at the outset of this year. But nonetheless, the severity of the issue is in the element that one is even prohibited for davening in front of the Amud on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Ramah raises an interesting machlokes in the beginning of Simen Chavav, and that's as follows. One who brought a case in front of a non-Jewish court system and then decides that he wants to back out and bring it to Beis Din. Will Beis Din take such a case? So the Ramah quotes two opinions. Mish alach be'akol shel goyim. One who takes a case and a claim against another Jew, brings it to arkos of goyim, v'nischayiv b'dineim, and is found guilty in the court
of the non-Jews. Now all of a sudden it says, you know what, I'm going to take this case in front of a Jewish court system. The first opinion that the Ramah quotes from Marik, Yeshom Shein is Kalkin Lo. We're not going to take that case. The Jewish court system says, we're not interested in that case. It was already brought in front of the non-Jewish court system. We refuse to hear the case. The second opinion, the Ramah, Yeshom Din is Kalkin Lo. No, we are required as a Jewish legal court system to take the case. However, the Ramah concludes and says, Svara Arshon and Yoli Iker, the first opinion is the primary opinion. Therefore, and this is the common practice in Ashkenaz and all Ashkenazi Bate Din, essentially, once a case is brought in front of Arkos, once a legal case has been opened and there is a portfolio that's been established and the case has been opened, and certainly if the case has been closed, at that point, a Beis Din is not required to hear the case. Not only is the Beis Din not required to hear the case, but it would be inappropriate to hear the case. One has already brought the case elsewhere. It does not belong back in Beis Din. However, there are some exceptions to this concept and to this rule they like to point out. The first, the way that the Beis Din works, and this the Shulchan Aruch explains as well in Hilchos Dayanim, is that the Toveya sends the mitzvah via the Beis Din. The litigants are, and certainly the defendant, is called to court. He's given three times to appear in court. We send three hazmanos, and if by the third time the nitza, the defendant, does not respond accordingly, at that point there's something called the heter arkos, when Beis Din issues a siruv and tells the individual that he is now permitted to bring his case in front of a non-Jewish court system. As a result of this person, the defendant, not listening to the Beis Din, at that point, you can't lose as a result of somebody not going to Beis Din. And ultimately, at that point, one is permitted to bring the case in front of a non-Jewish court system, in front of a non-Jewish legal court system, if the individual, the defendant, does not respond accordingly. The Klei Chemda here in Parshas Mishpatim asks, how can that be? How do we permit something that's so egregious and such a terrible sin and such a terrible avera, and say all of a sudden you're permitted to go to our coast just because the defendant doesn't listen? The Klei Chemda explains that it seems to be that the whole problem is a Chilul Hashem. And when the defendant is not doing what he is supposed to do, at that point the Chilul Hashem is sort of passed aside, and certainly when the defendant is not doing what he is supposed to do, at that point one is permitted to take the case in front of a non-Jewish court system. Now the concept of arkos is true both when it comes to a observant Jew, a non-observant Jew, and a non-Jew. Any court case should be brought in front of a Beis Din. Now, we more often than not are aware that a non-observant Jew and a non-Jew are not as interested in bringing their cases in front of Beis Din. Therefore, in that particular circumstance, one will receive a heter arkos. One will receive permission from a Beis Din, usually in writing, that one is permitted to bring his case in front of a non-Jewish court system in the particular situation where that individual is not willing to go to court, Jewish court, of course. And there are particular times where one will not even require a heter arkos, where one will be permitted to go straight to the Beis Din, even without a written statement, because it's so clear and so obvious that the individual is not going to go to non-Jewish court, to Jewish court. There are other examples as well where one is permitted to go to arkos, to a non-Jewish court system. The first is one is required to defend oneself. One was sued, so you can't and are not required to say, look, I can't go to arkos, I'm not permitted to go to a non-Jewish court system. If you're sued and if you're being taken to task, you're permitted to defend yourself in a non-Jewish court system in arkos. A further situation where one is permitted to place his case in front of our coast is to uphold and to confirm a psak Beis Din. When a psak Beis Din is issued and the defendant, or any of the litigants for that matter, are not listening to the psak of the Beis Din, at that point the either party is permitted to bring the statement, the matter that has been decided upon, and is permitted to bring that in front of a non-Jewish court system in order to uphold the Psak Beis Din. The matter that is important to point out is when we're talking about arkos and what is prohibited, we're specifically referring to a foreign judicial body. We are not referring to arbitration, and we are not referring to mediation. Mediation and arbitration are permitted, or any system that is not working with a particular judicial body and a series and a set and something which is writ large on documentation as to how one is supposed to execute and adjudicate a particular case. When there are individuals, arbiters, mediators who are trying to work things out. Now, of course, there's logic and there's a system to how arbitration mediation works, but when a lot of it is working through third-party mediation or arbitration, when things are being worked on in a particular way that it's not necessarily only following a judicial body, at that point it's permitted. So if one wants to hire a non-Jewish person to arbitrate a case, if one wants to hire a non-Jewish mediator, those are all permitted. Of course, both sides have to agree to it, but that's not subject to the prohibition that we refer to as Arkos. Arkos specifically is referring to a foreign judicial body. One of the classic defining issues of the Beis Din and what makes Beis Din unique, of course, is a concept called pshara, which is compromise. And the Shulchan Aruch, again, in Hilchos Dayanim, in Siman Yud Beis, Sif Beis, says that mitzvah lebale dinin betchilas adin lomar pshara atem rotzim udin atem rotzim. And one and the bale din are told, and the Beis Din is required to share with the litigants, that ideally the best case scenario is that they should try to be mefasher, that they should come to a compromise. The whole Beis Din Shosa Pshara, Tamid the Mechaber says, any Beis Din that works within the realm of compromise, Harez Mishubach, that is praiseworthy. So one of the classic defining points of Beis Din and the Beis Din system in general is this concept called Pshara and always compromising. The Sma raises the question, I mean, how can that be? Either one is right or one is wrong. Their truth can't lie somewhere in the middle. Torah is true, MS, we can't just compromise. I mean, how does that work? So the Sma asks this question. It says, it's not that you're trying to convince one party to give in to the second party. The Sma says, Kinoach lechaver shivater mal baldino deshitabech hashalom b'nehem. We prefer and we appreciate when there's a means of compromise because, of course, at the end of the day, it's very, very difficult to, with exactitude, to resolve and to, with absolute clarity, to guarantee which party and which side is absolutely correct. And we don't want any of the Balei Din walking out and one saying, you're right and you're wrong and that's it. And for the rest of life, there's going to be a complication and a difficulty and a situation with a lack of peace. So therefore, the Torah and Chazal understand that we prefer and we push that there should be a sense of peace, and most Piskei Din, when they conclude with this notion that there should be peace, there should be shalom, should reign between the two parties, and part of the notion of the Beis Din, how Beis Din works, is to ultimately succeed in making sure that there is a mutual respect between the parties, making sure that the parties both leave Beis Din with a full understanding that they did what they were supposed to do, Beis Din did what they were supposed to do, and everybody is receiving what is appropriate and fair according to the law. And therefore, pshara is a crucial element in terms of how to understand and how to work in Beis Din. Another issue that has to be understood, of course, is who is appropriate to be a dayan? Who has the ability to be a dayan? Now, of course, besides all of the basic educational steps that one has completed in terms of being a bakin and expert in Hilchos Toshe Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch enumerates a number of other basic elements that are required for a dayan. A dayan should be somebody who's an ish emes, somebody who's truthful. A dayan should be somebody who is a yarei Hashem, somebody who fears God. A dayan should be somebody who only is looking out for the best. It shouldn't be somebody who is a person who's looking out to get somebody or to do something back against somebody. A person of fear of heaven, a person with tremendous fortitude, abilities, a sense of right and a sense of wrong, and a person who is meant to be knowledgeable, and besides for being knowledgeable, a person who's sensitive and caring. Those are all qualities that we look for in a dayan. And of course, Siman Tes and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Dayanim speaks about not taking shochad. It's prohibited, of course, to take a bribe, as it says in Parshas Mishpatim, lo tikach shochad, and as the Shulchan Aruch says in Ma'od Ma'od Tzarech HaDayan Lizar Shol Likach Shochad. A dayan should be extra cautious. The Machaber uses the word Ma'od twice. And of course, besides just referring to the basic monetary bribe. It's referring to being bribed by words. It's being bribed by services or a variety of different elements that one could theoretically be bribed by. Now, of course, at the same time, there has to be a sense of payment. But there's a difference between shokad, bribery, and there's a difference between schar, payment. Different Bate Din have different policies in terms of how payment works. Many Bate Din, the litigants do not pay anything, and the Dayanim don't receive anything. Other Bate Din work that the litigants do pay something to the Beis Din, and ultimately the Beis Din responds accordingly and pays the Dayanim according to a particular fee. Now, this is what's known in the Shulchan Aruch as Schar Batala. They're not being paid for their work, but they're being paid as a result of not being able to do other work. And that's what's known as Schar Batala. Different but they did have different policies when it comes to that. There's a beautiful story about Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, was a Rav in Eastern Europe in a city called Kashalivsky. And in his town, where he served as Rav, the common issue that was often brought in front of him as a Rav, he often sat and dealt with Dinei Torah. Many civil grievances were brought to him. And in his time, horse stealing was a common crime in the shtetl. And one day, two men came into the house, both agitated, and they both asked to see the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik. One was a Jew, and the other was a peasant. The Jew accused the peasant of stealing his horse, and the peasant yelled that the Jew was an absolute liar and it wasn't true. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, brought the two into his house, and they sat down, they discussed the issue, and Rabbi Soloveitchik asked the Jew, when did you buy the horse? And the Jew immediately responded, just the other day. Rabbi Soloveitchik asked him, who did you buy the horse? And he says, I forgot his name. And now Rabbi Soloveitchik asked him, so where are your witnesses? How do I know that you bought the animal? He was silent. At that point, Rabbi Soloveitchik turned to the peasant, and the peasant said that it's my horse, and I've had it for 5 years. It was born in my stable. Rabbi Soloveitchik then said, if that's the case, can you bring me a witness as to the veracity of your statement that you are indeed the owner of the animal? And the peasant, the non-Jew, said, absolutely, of course I can. My neighbor's here in town, and I'll go to the marketplace, and I'll bring him. He got up ready to leave. At that point, the Jew turned to Rabbi Soloveitchik, whispered to him, Rav, make a pshara, make a compromise. As soon as Rav Soloveitchik heard that, he felt that he did not need any more witnesses. He turned with all anger to the Jew, and I quote, you're a horse thief. How dare you come to me and ask for a compromise when you know the horse belongs to the peasant? There will be no adjustment. The animal will be retained to its rightful owner. Don't you know that our code of law is the law of God, the creator of the entire world? Therefore, everybody is treated equally. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Finally, full of admiration, the peasant declared and turned to Rav Soloveitchik, this is a real rabbi. Thank you. Thank you. The Kiddush Hashem that exists amongst many Bate Din in this country is outstanding. And more often than not, and there are times when one will see both a Jew and a non-Jew in a Jewish court in front of a Beis Din. And the Beis Din system in its best is able to deal with situations through pshara, through honest judges, and through very, very talented, educated, and very, very honest and upstanding rabbanim who sit on particular cases. This is the way the Beis Din system should work, and this is the way the Beis Din system has to work. But we have to remind ourselves, and we have to make sure that our generation, our Doran, and many are aware that not only are we commanded to be kosher, to keep Shabbos, to say brachos, and to marry Jewish. But amongst the other aspects of Jewish law is choshen mishpat, financial arbitration, adjudication, mediation, and absolutely, of course, bringing a case that is unable to be resolved, either through arbitration or mediation, in front of the Din Torah, in front of the Beis Din. There are situations when one is not required, as we defined above, but prior to that, one has to recognize and realize the importance of a Beis Din in every city, in every town, and that the Beis Din is there to help individuals and to help the community to make sure that there's peace, shalom, that reigns. Of course, at the end of the first chapter, Pirkei Avos concludes that we look and we pray that Emes, Din, and Shalom, truth, judgment, and peace, those are the three things which keep the world running, and each of those three qualities is what every Dayan and everyone Beis Din has to continue to uphold. The only way for the world to continue running is based upon those three elements, those three characteristic traits, emes, din, and shalom. And of course, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, and we should daven with wholeheartedness and with a lot of fervor, Hashiva Shoftei Kavrishonu, we wait for the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return the true judges, and judges who will be able to serve and deal with all forms of cases, not just financial matters, but we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we see peace, shalom, and judgment, emes, din, v'shalom, Hashiva Shoftei Kavrishonu, Yotzeinu Kivat Chila.